Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side,
shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize
when we ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys, Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
I'm Craig.
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry. Done with that, Craig.
Oh, sorry.
Please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching. Go ahead and put on those safety bars because we won't be doing that for you. Yes, Craig, we have moved on from the Valentine's Day romance advice show.
Romance.
Thank goodness.
Yes, I think that's for everyone's benefit.
But it's still, we're not into Valentine's Day yet, so.
I know, we were way
ahead. Love is in the air.
We were so far ahead, we should get points from our wives.
Yes.
Listeners, if you somehow missed that milestone episode, we encourage you to go back to episode 106, our most recently published episode, and check out, I guess you could call it advice for romance at Walt Disney World.
Your significant other will thank us later.
Sure. Today, we begin a four-part series on this milestone episode 107. And what might that be, Derek?
I forgot what you told me, but I've...
Insider Insights.
That's right, Insider Insights.
Magic Kingdom Edition. So, Craig,
I pay attention all the time.
Craig, do you want to kind of give us a little brief rundown over what this series is going to involve?
This series is going to involve an in-depth look at those things at Disney that you may not be aware of, or you may, but some some tips and tricks in which we'll tell you some knowledge that maybe would help you in not being in the crowd, out of the crowd, whatever you want to be.
How to make the most of your Walt Disney World experience. And that's really the goal of this show. We've talked about how to beat the waits, how to beat the crowds. But today we're going to give you some tips and tricks that aren't really going to make or break your vacation, but they may help you save a minute here or 2 minutes there. And this was actually a listener idea. This came to us from Clint, who joined us on episodes 104 and 105. But he thought, given our vast knowledge, we could offer some insight.
Terribly mistaken.
Was he talking about us?
I think so.
Oh.
Insider Insight. So we're going to start this series talking about the Magic Kingdom. What's a tip or a trick that you need to know that maybe not everybody does know when traveling to the Magic Kingdom and choosing to spend your day there? So we're going to start things off.
Here, hey, we'll just start off with one that Clint mentioned and the whole reason this came up.
Yeah, and it actually came up in our interview with him, I do believe.
Yeah, it was when you go into the Haunted Mansion, into the stretching room, look for the lady with the umbrella. She is the key to where the door is. It opens up and then you don't get taken
she's,
down.
She's not an actual key.
No.
It's a...
Look for the painting of the woman with the umbrella. And that is where there's also a red light where the door will slide open too. But if you look for the stretch room, the picture of the portrait of the lady with the umbrella, that is the one where the door will open up underneath her, and then you will exit before everybody else exits if you get to that door. Even when they say move to the center of the room, just take a step in off the wall, but stay right there.
And two, to clarify for our listeners who maybe haven't been there, the stretching room is not the first room you go into. They'll bring you inside, and then they'll send you to a stretching room. But yes, find the wall. There's going to be four paintings at the top. Find the wall. Stand underneath the one with the lady with the umbrella, and you'll pass... You could potentially pass dozens of people.
Yes. And if you find yourself on the opposite side of that, you are going to be in trouble. Because everybody then funnels in. Again, if you've not been there before, you funnel into a small area that's wide enough for probably two people side by side. So it's best to stay underneath the painting with the lady with the umbrella, and that way you can get out quicker. But that's where this all started, where Clint said, hey, that's a good tip.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
Another one. When riding Big Thunder Mountain, do not ride in the front seat of the car. I remember the first time Sissy and I rode that. We were so excited. Hey, look, we got on the front row. And because of the train prop that is sitting right in front of you, it's not as if you have great views like you do on most roller coasters from the front row. And it goes exceedingly slower than the back. So if you're riding Big Thunder Mountain, The further back you can sit, go for it. I'd even say let a car go through. You might have to wait a couple more minutes, but it's worth it to ride in the back as opposed to the front.
Yes, our very first ride was on the front row.
Mm-hmm.
And our next ride was on the back row.
Yes.
And so we got to experience the two ends of the spectrum on that ride, and by far the back is the better approach.
Two totally different rides.
Yes, if you've got a person that may be a little scared, a small child or right. someone that may get slightly nauseous on rides like that, you may find yourself wanting to be in the front row.
Yes.
So it is a very safe place to ride as far as I think motion sickness mm-hmm. would go.
Derek, do you have any insider insights?
I know something we've mentioned before maybe is early in the morning when you're going through bag check, everybody kind of concentrates in the middle aisles of bag check. So look to the edges, be it right side or left side, either one. And those lines are typically going to be shorter on bag check.
Yeah, usually if you'll take just a few steps further, you know, most people are either going to go to the middle or to the first ones they see. Go to the opposite end of wherever that may be for you and go through that bag check line, as Derek said.
I'm going to segue with that right into the tickets. I think, and Matthew is probably more, Derek, you correct me if I'm wrong, Matthew's probably more bold than we are in this area where whenever at Disney you will find everybody loves to get in line. Well, when it comes to tickets on the far left as you enter at Magic Kingdom, those are open just for early morning breakfast and things like that. Those empty the closer it gets to park time, and those stay empty, move over in those lines, and then that takes you right in. Like I said, Matthew, if you don't have any idea, Matthew's about 6'6", 6'7", so he kind of sticks out, but he can see better than we can because of that. But he finds the holes, and then he tells us to come over behind him. So that's,
we do feel guilty sometimes.
We do.
Not all the time.
Right. But most of the time.
No need to feel guilty.
It could be wide open and everybody's still standing in line because that's what you do at Disney. You stand in line. So always look for the places where no one's standing and it's okay. The worst thing that can happen, hey, y'all need to get back in line over there.
Yeah. And that's not just for Magic Kingdom. That goes, I'm pretty sure that's kind of how it is for each park that you'll run into there at the opening procedurals. Here's an insider insight that we've done in the past. If you have little ones and you're going at a time in which it is hot, and you go to the Magic Kingdom, pack an extra change of clothes because during the hot part of the day, those little ones will probably thoroughly enjoy the Casey Jr. Splash and Soak Station back in Storybook Circus. And that's something we've done on our last few trips, as our boys love. Enjoying that little attraction. Again, it's just kind of a water play area. And I did see that they're planning an upcoming refurbishment to maybe clean it up. So, yes, pack an extra set of dry clothes and a Ziploc bag or a grocery sack, something to put the wet clothes in.
And you can store them in your over-the-door shoe holder.
No, Craig. Oh. Absolutely not.
Oh.
No, we're thinking about if you're still in the park and not leaving.
Oh, you can't take that with you in the park?
Well, I'm sure you could.
I have seen, I don't know if I saw this or Rachel told me about it, but somebody talking about the shoe holder, they took one of those shoe holders that you're talking about, Craig, and cut it in half or something.
Yes.
And put it on their stroller right. and use it for a cup holder. That's a terrible illustration, but I don't want to give any credence to what Craig is saying about using the
Clearwater Revival.
Yes.
Derek, what's another insider insight?
This would go for any of the boat rides, I think. Your family and Clint experienced on your trip, that if you notice that there's the possibility of improper weight dispersion on the boat ride,
yes,
maybe ask for a different boat. I think more on Splash than I do on. Was it Pirate Show got soaked on?
Uh-huh.
If you see three grown men wearing Grim Gritty Guy shirts in one vehicle, you may not want to ride in that.
Don't take that boat.
That one is going to get some water to it.
Yes. One that I like, and I do this at home also, but if you're leaving a sit-down eating place, ask for a to-go cup. I know it sounds like something simple and something, but it saves you money instead of going and buying another drink or something like that. Take it with you, especially if you have a stroller, put it in the stroller. But ask for a to-go cup and take it with you, and then you got a drink throughout the park for several more hours. Again, something simple, but something I've done and something I do even at home.
This one can apply to any park, I guess, but more so to the Magic Kingdom just because of the sheer number of attractions. Keep refreshing the app. When you've used your first three Fast Passes and you're looking for a next one, I think it's a lot of most people will probably just look at that app. And let's say it's 12 o'clock noon and you've used your three Fast Passes. You're looking for your fourth. A lot of times when you first get on there, the first thing they're going to show you is something 3 or 4 in the afternoon. But if you'll click on the time that says 12:30 or 1 o'clock, it'll refresh the times and it'll give you something sometimes in the immediate future. There's been times where we got Fast Passes 5 or 10 minutes in the future to the point where we can get off a ride and go get on the next one. I think of our most recent trip, we got, as soon as we scanned in at Pirates of the Caribbean, I refreshed the app once or twice and we had magic carpets that we were able to walk on immediately after. Now, granted, you're not don't expect to get like Splash Mountain, Space Mountain, Mine Train, unless you're Derek, because Derek can work magic on there, but keep refreshing the app until you get a Fast Pass time that is in the immediate future. Don't just take what the app immediately gives you. But at Magic Kingdom, you're going to find a lot of success with that because there are so many attractions that offer Fast Passes that have Fast Passes aplenty. Kind of like a horn aplenty at Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
What do you guys think about the app or refreshing the app?
If it's working, I think that's a great idea.
The app does need to be working.
Derek is the master at that. He's very good.
And sometimes if it's not, cut off the Wi-Fi. I know a lot of times the Disney Wi-Fi can cut in and out, and you're just better off cutting off the Wi-Fi.
That is the key. I think more than being able to refresh the app, I think is getting off the Disney Wi-Fi. I found that helps me tremendously.
Derek, what's another insider insight you have at the Magic Kingdom?
Okay, this will be another one that goes for all parks, is that if you're staying on property and you can't be at an extra morning hour park in time for rope drop at that morning, do not go to that park that day. I feel that too many families go to those extra magic hours in the morning and they'll be an hour late and the extra magic hour is over. So I don't think that you've not benefited from going to that park that day.
Well, I'm gonna tag along on that with Derek, and I'm gonna say do early morning breakfasts. It's changed a little bit at Magic Kingdom, but I used to love getting to Magic Kingdom and doing the breakfast and getting all kinds of pictures in front of the castle with nobody there. Can I steal another one with that one, guys?
Do it.
All right.
Do it.
If you can't get there early and do a breakfast where you can get a lot of good shots, especially for family pictures, something like that, with nobody there, wait until the very end of the night. Now, I know that's tough sometimes with little children, but if you wait till the kiss goodnight and then kind of hang around, you can get some great pictures of empty streets with nobody around. It doesn't have to necessarily be in front of the castle. It could be anywhere in the park where the park is already emptied. Or like I said, if you do breakfast, the park is empty when you come in. When we went to Be Our Guest and had breakfast there, it was empty going all the way over there. So those are some great times to get some great photos that otherwise you can't get any other time during the day.
I think for all quick service restaurants at the Magic Kingdom, here's an insider insight. Scope the restaurants out to see what seating they have available. Because I know, you know, Columbia Harbor House, I've talked to people before that didn't know you could go sit upstairs.
Right.
And really the upstairs seats at Columbia Harbor House are the best, in my opinion. Pecos Bills has numerous dining rooms. Oh,
they've got seating galore.
You know, you may walk by and say, oh, this place is packed. Well, there's plenty of seats that are tucked away. Cosmic Rays is kind of that way. It's
Pinocchio's Village House.
Yes. There's all these little rooms within these. And again, if you go at 11:30 or noon or 12:30 peak lunch hour, then you are going to run into a lot of crowds, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have to eat in a crowded area.
Right.
And then, you know, we'll say this over and over. Use mobile ordering. Mobile order. You know, scope out where you want to sit, and you can still have a relaxing meal, even if there are, you know, hundreds of other people there trying to eat at the same place. So check out the seating areas. Now, Casey's Corner, I don't think there's a lot of seating within Casey's. Derek can correct me if I'm wrong, but there's usually a lot of places outside or even on the grassy area there in the hub.
The grassy knoll.
The grassy knoll.
And we'll say this every time, too. Skipper Canteen is a great place where it's not that crowded. Great food. And I hope I like it like that, but I hope they do pick up a little bit so they won't close that place. But it's a great, great place to eat. It's not very crowded at all.
We don't want them to be pizza rizzoed.
No.
Get y'all's input on this one, too. There are certain rides that I enjoy to ride at night. We at Astro Orbiter. Take a few minutes in line. I know that's not a fun line to stay in, and it's typically very slow, but that's a good ride to ride at night. The TTA, I enjoy. The spinner rides are typically quite fun at night. I'd say with the exception of Aladdin's Magic Carpets, because it's dark over in Adventureland at night, but the circus area and Tomorrowland, I think, are both well lit and fun to see at night.
I think Jungle Cruise is a better ride at night.
Do you?
I think
it's hard to see.
It is, but I think it adds a little more mystery and mystique. Big Thunder Mountain?
Well, you're saying that they have that anyway.
I think they do.
You're wrong.
Big Thunder Mountain, I think, is better at night.
I would agree with that one. I like that one at night.
I like Splash Mountain at night, yeah.
Peter Pan's Flight at night.
It's always night.
I know your wife, Sissy, is a fan of Haunted Mansion at night.
Yes.
We say that jokingly, but at the same time, if you go during a Halloween party,
it is
they do have the fog rolling
ominous.
In.
Ominous.
And it's a little creepier around the mansion.
Yes.
I guess this is an insight, but it's really not. But it just we say it a lot. We talk about rope drop a whole lot. Rope drop. Be there at rope drop. That's key to it. Well, if you're planning on be there at rope drop and be there for those early things, again, this kind of goes without saying, but I think it needs to be said as an insight. Don't plan your fast passes till like after 11, 10:30, 11 o'clock. Because that way you're not blowing those fast passes early. You can do all the other stuff and then start using your fast passes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two sides there.
Yeah.
The same time,
it depends
you want to
use
your fast passes up.
Yeah. It depends on your schedule for the day, I think.
Right. Okay. I'll take that.
If, on our last day, if it's our last day, then we're going to schedule our fast passes at 9:30, 10:30, 11:30.
Right.
Just because I know we're going to be leaving probably about 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
Right.
And I think, too, if it's one of those days where if you're planning to call it an early day, maybe you do just not book them until lunchtime. Like, if you're going to be done at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, get as much as you can done in the morning. But if you're going to be there, like, if I'm going to be there all day, I try to book mine early and then try to get as many
get
as
more.
I can. There's two sides of that.
Yeah, there is. And after I said that, I realized there's two ways, different ways to look at it. Whatever, I think Derek said it best, it's whatever your day has planned. So I'm glad I said that, because that way we can look at all the different ways.
Well, I think in Magic Kingdom, again, you can get so many more, like,
right.
You know, Hollywood Studios, it may be a different thing, because you're not going to be able to get a lot of extras. So.
Unless you're a party of one.
Here's a next insider insight. Take some time or make some time to enjoy Main Street, USA. I think Main Street, and this is something that I need to do more often, Main Street has a lot to offer, I think. They've got great entertainment with the Dapper Dans. You know, I wish I made more time to listen to the Dapper Dans. Ride a Main Street vehicle. I've ridden one, and that was with you two. Loved it. Felt like a king riding down Main Street. Can't remember the name of our driver, but it was awesome. Obviously, you can watch fireworks from there. But there's just a lot of great little details going down Main Street. The Plaza. I mean, I loved my experience at the Plaza on our most recent trip. You got the Casey's Corner piano player. I think the Emporium.
Have you ever seen him?
I've stopped to just watch for a few moments.
Have you? I didn't know. You know, it's got the mirror where you can see back behind him.
Yeah. One thing we saw there recently, it was around rope drop, is you had a couple of the Casey's employees out there with a catcher's mitt, and they were letting little kids throw baseballs with them.
I've not seen
that.
And
I've never seen that. But I think there's a lot of things that's just going to happen on Main Street. You've got the Main Street citizens. You'll see them wandering around talking to guests. And just, again, a lot of little neat details. The Emporium is a great place to shop. You got the confectionery. If the railroad was open, I think the railroad station at Main Street is a great place to check out details. And, of course, You can meet Mickey and Minnie right now in their birthday costumes, and also Tinkerbell. And I just think there's a lot to Main Street, and even just sitting there on the grassy knoll in the hub. I think Main Street is the flag retreat is another one I thought of. Seeing that, that's usually around 5 p.m.
Yeah, 5 or 5:30. It just, I don't know.
So I think Main Street is a good place to kind of spend some time in your afternoon. And as we know, Derek wants to go and get a silhouette done.
Yes.
Of himself.
Hey, and the king and the keys to the kingdom, or sorry, not keys to the kingdom, Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom cards. Right. You can get a free pack of those every day.
Free.
One pack per day. So
some of these things we're saying, you know these things, like with Main Street, all the stores are connected. Some people may not know that. That you can walk from Casey's Corner all the way down to the very first store. And
that's a good tip itself.
Yeah. But like I said, that's things that we may think everybody knows
that. On our shortcuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just to throw in there, I mean, if it's raining, you need to get around a parade. That's a great way to go through there.
Bingo.
Can I say another thing about Main Street is don't be drawn in by the characters right when you first come in.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is a draw. And maybe that's what you want to be there for. And if so, that's wonderful. But most of us want to get to the rides or get on back to the back of the park. Well, if you're drawn into the characters, then that's the whole... That's kind of a plan to kind of draw you into so the crowds aren't as bad going through there. So just be wary of what you really want to do there.
And that line is always long.
Yes.
It looks like it's long.
Unless you
anyway.
Can get there 5 or 10 minutes before they show up.
I think that if you've seen the nighttime projection show on the castle a few times, I think that time is a good time to ride rides during the nighttime spectacular with lower weights. I think typically maybe I've had more success with this over in Frontierland with Big Thunder and Splash. I've been able to ride both of those during the parade. Maybe a 10-minute wait. I think skipping that can be a bonus time for riding if you're not interested in that, which I'm not always a fan of watching that show, but I do watch it, but I'm grief-stricken in my heart.
As you should be.
Everyone should be.
Should.
I think don't stand in line at the Fast Pass ticket kiosk that long. Go ahead and go stand in line and let someone go to the other one, get more Fast Passes. And then you can all get in that line once he gets those Fast Passes from the kiosk.
Derek, what year is Craig in right now? 2012?
Oh.
Probably 1980.
Okay. What I meant to say, guys, is when you use your e-ticket, be sure... Is that not... Guys,
can you use that over at Mr. Toad's?
And then Cinderella's...
Here's an actual insider insight, Derek.
Good.
If you're going to go see Country Bear Jamboree...
Uh-oh, you may have ruined this already.
Hall of Presidents or Carousel of Progress, sit toward the front. I know a lot of times people say, hey, sit toward the back. You can kind of see everything, get a better view. I say sit toward the front because, to me... The beauty in Hall of Presidents is seeing those audio animatronics. And the closer you can get, the more you can appreciate them. You know, we've joked before, sitting on the front row of Carousel of Progress. Mm-hmm. And you notice things that otherwise you really don't, and you wouldn't think that's the case. But Country Bear Jamboree, I sit as close to the front as I can. I want to rock out with those bears. You're closer to the action, and, you know, maybe then in the future you can sit further back. But I think... getting up close and seeing them, seeing that the magic of Disney audio animatronics at work, sit toward the front.
And it may be a thing on all those places you mentioned. If you want to just catch the show and move on, find out where the door is, where the exit is, and sit close to it.
I mean,
like in Carousel of Progress is in the back. Mm-hmm. Country Bear is in the front.
Yeah, typically the side you come in on, the opposite side, is where you want to head.
Right.
Yeah. Let's go around one more time, and we'll each offer one more for Magic Kingdom, and then we'll close up shop for the day. One more that I'll offer is know where the characters are going to be. You know, study your map and your app and your chapstick. No.
Chaps.
But, you know where they're going to be at. and get, you know, see what times they're meeting. Show up 5 or 10 minutes ahead of time, and that'll save you tons of time. And I know you can go back to episode 10, listen to 10 time-saving tips. It's one of my favorite episodes. It's actually helpful. You know, see where the characters are going to be exactly, get there a little bit ahead of time, and that will save you a ton of time because there's nothing slower moving lines to meet characters.
One of my favorite things, and again, this is all on, a lot of things play into this, but one of my favorite tips, and it's kind of the way I work, Matthew may disagree, I think Derek kind of agrees with this, I like to work around the park. I don't like to go from one side of the park to the other side of the park. Again, that's a great insight for me is go here, try to work everything I can there the best I can, if I can do that. It's always hard in Fantasyland, but if I can do everything and then move on to another side of the park, especially Fantasyland early as I can, knock out everything there, and then the rest of the park is kind of open the rest of the day because then Fantasyland gets so smothered, you know, middle of the day.
Yeah, and that's something I've talked to people who have booked through, and I don't want to, I'm not speaking ill of travel agents, but I've talked to people who have booked trips through travel agencies or people who know of people who have booked through travel agencies. And, you know, a lot of times those people, they'll book your fast passes for you.
Right.
But they don't really take into account, you just kind of tell them, yes, I want to ride this, but they don't take into account where you're going to be at. Like, they may book you one for Space Mountain, and then one for Splash Mountain.
Right.
And then one for Buzz Lightyear.
Right.
Which you're going back and forth across the park when really there's no need to do that. And so that's something I see a lot of people struggle with. But you're right, Craig. You don't want to be bebopping all over the park. You want to kind of compartmentalize it. And, you know, it's awful convenient if you book a Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and a Splash Mountain Fast Pass right next to each other. So you can just go from one to the next.
Well, and probably they're thinking, too, is you have an hour roughly from the start of the first one to the start of the second one. So you've got time to get all over the park. But really, that's not efficiency. And for me, I'm always the type, I like to go ahead and get everything checked off on the list I want to do. And then the part I feel like it's kind of open to do whatever I want to do with. So that's kind of my insight of the way I like to tour and the way I like to travel through the parks.
Well, and one thing you'll find, especially with young ones, I think is, you know, you'll say, okay, we'll come back and ride Splash Mountain later. Well, then you find yourself over in Tomorrowland. You're like, oh, that's a long way away.
Right, right.
And sometimes you just kind of throw your hands up and say, forget it. I know that's happened to us plenty of times.
And like I said, when all the other people get there, you know, I say that because they say don't do what everybody else is doing. When they all get there around noonish, 11 to 1, Fantasyland is crazy. I mean, it's hard even to walk through there. It's also somewhat hard to walk through Tomorrowland. Mm-hmm. So those are some places that if you can go and knock those out as quick as possible, do those things and kind of check that off. And my other insight to go hand-in-hand with that is I always like to tour Magic Kingdom at least twice when I'm on a trip, if I can.
Craig goes every day.
I mean, I love Just Magic about. Kingdom. I really do. But you can do so much in Magic Kingdom. That way, the first day, you're running all over the place. The second day, you enjoy it. And that's just my personal planning.
I'm going to lean towards a snack. And if you're on the dining plan, high value snack, I'm going to go with chocolate chip sandwich ice cream cookie thing. I don't know what it's called.
Ice cream cookie sandwich?
Yes. At the plaza. Not at the plaza restaurant, at the ice cream plaza. There's nowhere to sit in there, but I think everything in there is snack credit eligible. And so, of course, you want to get the most expensive snack. That's not my favorite snack, but I'm just saying I think that one's...
And one other thing I was going to add, and I think you can say this about every park, is, and especially Magic Kingdom, because there's so much to do. Every time you go, try something new. Do something different. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a new ride, new show, new streetmosphere, new snack, new restaurant. Try something new. You know, we've been many, many times, and I'm still trying new things at the Magic Kingdom. And there's still things I want to do at the Magic Kingdom that I haven't gotten around to doing yet.
And no matter what you hear from other people, especially when it comes to food, try it for yourself. You may really love it, and when somebody else doesn't like it at all. And I've heard a lot of people have told me personally, one of my favorite places to eat is Ohana, but I've had a lot of people say, I don't like Ohana. That's okay. I love it, but that doesn't mean you have to love it.
Don't take these guys' word for it.
Just mine.
Well, listeners, we hope that you feel as if you're not on the outside looking in anymore, and that now you can take some of these tips and apply them to make your Magic Kingdom day even more magical. Also, when you're riding Space Mountain, hold on to that bag.
That's a great tip. The show before, there's two spots.
Put your leg through the trap.
What if it pulls you out?
Well, if it pulls you out, Then you're heading toward a segment we like to call
grinning
greatness.
Okay, Craig has our Grim Grinning Greatness question for us today. What's it going to be, Craig?
Guys, if there is, and we may have already mentioned it, but if there is one tip that you say this is a must do, this helps the whole process. What is that one tip?
At Magic Kingdom?
At Magic Kingdom.
What do you got?
Mine is to, I mentioned it, I think one of the first ones, mine is to look for the lines that there's nobody in. Everybody listening today, notice this today or tomorrow. Notice people that just get in lines. When there's in traffic, people will just get in lines. Disney is one of the worst for that. If you avoid lines, which we always try to help you do, but especially when you see a line forming, look for other options. I'm not saying pass. I'm not saying push shove. Just look for other options, and I think you will benefit greatly from that at Magic Kingdom and all the Disney parks.
I kind of said this earlier. Know the map. Know the app. I think if you're familiar with the map, and I know, Derek, you talked about that on one of our very first shows, maybe episode 2 or 3. If you familiarize yourself with how the park is laid out and you know where everything is, that's going to save you a ton of time and headaches right there. And then get to know the app. How do you get extra fast passes? How do you mobile order? Knowing how to work the app, I do kind of dislike it because you find yourself stuck in your phone a lot, but it makes your day so much easier, and especially easier on your wife or your kids. Know the map, know the app.
Well, we're all big advocates of this, and I think that would be early arrival. I think if you're there early in the mornings, I know you typically want to be there. I would say I like to be at the park, especially Magic Kingdom, anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes early. And that's just so I can get ahead of that crowd. And I know I'm waiting early in the morning, but I'm up already anyway. And Boone's not going to let me sleep.
There you go.
So we just like to, I'd rather wait outside before the park even opens than be waiting once the park opens.
And the beautiful thing about Magic Kingdom, too, is a lot of times you'll get it's almost like an extra hour of park time because they let you in. And sometimes they'll have Streetmosphere going. Sometimes I think you can even get on a Main Street vehicle before the park actually opens. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
And I want to say, and I don't think I'm alone in this, I still miss the opening from the train station. That was just so unique. I mean, it's nice getting on Main Street. It's not as crowded because you're then at each area going into it. But still, it was just so, it just set the whole tone for the pre-show. I mean, for the whole day. But I really miss that.
Yeah, here.
I still have videos of that, and yeah.
I hope one day they bring that back, but I doubt they will. I bet they're making a lot more money on Main Street now because of that. So,
Derek, can you believe that Craig wants to bring something back from the past? I would never guess.
I know it's shocking, guys.
He spent today talking about e-tickets and paper fast passes. Well, listener, do you have any insider insights into how to make your day at Magic Kingdom more magical? Let us know on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Kick Messenger, Tout, Pout, Clout, any of the following.
Write us a handwritten letter.
Yeah. Voicemail us at 1-800-GRIM-GRINNING-GUYS. We know our stuff.com.
Do not call that. It will lead you nowhere.
We hope it doesn't.
We will not be held responsible.
Disclaimer.
Where that takes you.
All right. Well, listeners, thank you very much for joining us. We hope that you can come back next Monday. We got a very special show planned for you then.
We do?
Yes.
Okay.
It's milestone episode 108.
Oh, yeah, of course. The big 108.
We'll see you then, listeners. As you leave, be sure to
beware the hitchhiking ghost.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back.